Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Get Microschooled with Kale Education and Company. Wanda and I are sitting here on this Friday afternoon.
On the eve of the break of spring.
Oh, yes. It's about to be spring break time.
Wowza. Yes, it is.
Isn't that exciting?
We have an early out, so.
We do. That was something we learned over time. Mm-hmm. The Friday before breaks, or the day before a break starts,
yes,
we do a half day.
Yes, I highly recommend that.
Do yourself a favor and change your calendar to be a half day the day before a break.
And don't worry, the children will all show up that morning.
They will.
They'll show up. So you get a solid half day in before they check out,
yes.
Essentially is what happens.
Yes.
We've just learned
that the afternoon of the day before break is useless and no one is doing anything and you're really just managing bodies. And so we've learned.
Don't do that.
Half day. Yep. So we've got 1 hour until the children dismiss for a week.
Yes, they do.
And everybody gets a break. And breaks are good.
Breaks work.
Yep.
They work.
Breaks are good. And then it is the slide into the end.
Oof.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
It's gone fast.
It goes so fast. And I mean, we're almost to April, which is insane in itself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Time goes fast. Another year. So we've been planning all morning about next year.
Yeah, we have.
Working on enrollment and working on budgets and plans and schedules. You've been knee deep in scheduling and how the days are going to look next year with added enrollment. So lots of work taking place.
Yeah, it's been fun. We have
I don't know if I'd use fun, but.
Well, I'm excited for, I feel really good about next year's schedule. Like that feels good.
Yeah.
We're adding, well, today we're going to talk about summer school and summer school options. And, so like we have added a math/STEAM teacher for next year. She's doing our summer camps, which we're going to talk about in a second, but I'm so excited that our kids are going to have, that as a, as a consistent offering.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of exciting things happening for the upcoming year for sure.
Yeah.
So, but today we are going to concentrate on summer school.
Dun, 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 dun. So in my previous job, I interviewed for this position at Central Office, which is where I got to know my friend here, Jill. And she was my boss, but I
hate that word, but
yeah, okay. Well, you were essentially my boss. I mean, you were the boss, like on the tree.
I just had a job that happened to oversee several people.
Oh my gosh. Your people.
I'm not a I'm not into hierarchies, but yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Boss.
Whatever.
Anyway, I can't remember where I was going with that now, but I had this job. So I never did summer school, like as a building principal. I never did summer school.
That's why Tony gets so bent out of shape about summer, because you never did it.
No.
I did not. That's a new epiphany to me. Her husband does not like her working in the summer.
Mm-mm.
And I didn't realize he had been conditioned
to
having you all summer.
Yeah. Like
makes a lot more sense.
Here's I gave
Devin turns out he's never known me to not work.
Yeah, see there we go. And what I'm saying is everybody got the best of me for 10 months out of the year. Two months. And let's be honest, educators out there, it's not like you really get the time off.
No.
Like you're answering emails all summer. Sure. You're still doing things.
Prepping.
So let's not pretend like you're really not working. So I had no problem saying no to summer school. So when my friend here interviewed me, well, I applied for this central office job, which I ended up getting, and which is why I'm currently not in the public school sector anymore, because central office jobs are so great. So that was part of the thing that they wanted me to do is oversee summer school.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And I am pretty sure that was an interview question. And I looked at those fools sitting in front of me, including my current business partner, Jill Brown, and my boss at that time, and said, well, y'all know I don't do summer school. So this will be an easy question and answer because I don't know.
Do you know how, have I ever told you why you got summer school?
Because
I said, whoever takes this job is getting summer school.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Because
I'm done.
Yes, I know why. I know why you were done. That job was terrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
Terrible.
Because you're running your entire full-time job.
Right.
In our case, in a very large district. And you're supposed to be overseeing the planning of summer school, which in itself is like a whole school year.
It's a whole
just
school
condensed
year.
Into condensed. A month. Oh, yeah. It was awful. They needed a full-time person. Well, they have a full-time person doing it, but there's still someone having to oversee it. And she was great. God, I mean, like it ran great. But I mean,
here's what was great.
Holy cow.
So Jill's right. So they had somebody that kind of oversees summer school, but yep. You have to have somebody from the district office that's kind of communicating and like the go-between.
All the stuff. Right.
Well, your friend Wanda here. I mean, when you don't do it in this large district, you don't really know the intricacies. Like, I don't know when curriculum pickup is. I've never really cared. And so all these things are happening, and I was very upfront in my like, well, I don't know anything about it.
That did not deter the consideration for the hire because I wasn't doing it anymore.
So all that really happened was Jill helped me through the whole process. She still kind of did it because every question that came to me, I didn't know the answer for. So I had to talk to Jill about. And so I really feel like that.
I didn't have enough time to fully transition that over.
Nope, because COVID hit.
Then COVID hit and we didn't have it.
And I was gone.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, oop, this is something I won't miss. So this is a good lead-in
to
all the fun things. And now you kind of have a background on my opinions of summer school. I needed a break.
She needed a break.
But when you own your own business, you see, it turns out things like rent, they still come due.
All the bills
the
are
still
due. The
copy machine still's got to get paid for.
Loan's got to be paid.
So Susie here has to reinvent summer school in my own mind.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've done. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because our micro school friends and colleagues, you're probably going to need some sort of summer income.
Right. And you're probably thinking about how you're going to do it. And we have really evolved. So we're going to talk to you about where we started and where we are. Because where you start is not where you are a few years into into the business owning. And so that very first year, we did summer school before we'd even opened the school.
Yes. Yes.
So.
And essentially it was tutoring.
It was,
I mean, it was a lot of tutoring and instead of having like, you know, tutoring sessions, like a session in the morning and a session in the afternoon where we each had a couple kids, we tutored all day, every day.
Yeah.
So
we tutored and then we talked our education friends into running a camp. We had an art camp.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yep.
And
I had forgotten that.
Yeah. She ran an art camp for us and we had, you know, it was good. I mean, we had a handful of children, but it was a great way to like start out. The teacher's great. Teacher's still with us today. She's fantastic art teacher. And so that helped.
That helped.
We did that our first year. So we advertised that on Facebook mainly. Put
and
it
really
out there.
It was a good way to get some of our families that were enrolling for the fall because you know, like they didn't know us really. So it was a good opportunity. And I think that's kind of how families used it to come in, get to know us a little bit, be in the space. And you know, like you said, the art teacher, Ms. Steers, is who we kept on. I mean, so she was a staff member.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just a nice segue into the school year. So I think if you're young and you're a new school and you're thinking of, you're going to be opening in the fall.
Yeah.
Those are some things that I think you can do that it doesn't cause tons of planning. It doesn't cause a lot of headaches because you're going to have all of those things that have to have your attention if you're opening in that fall.
Mm-hmm.
But networking and doing some things, partnering with some people that you might know that might be gardeners, that might be artists, that might be, you know, musicians or, you know, music lovers.
Right.
Just really use some folks around you. And, you know, you can do a week of art camp. You can do a week of gardening. You can do, you know, and a week could look 4 days. Maybe it's not 5 days.
Right.
But you're still there and your mind is still on preparing for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, you're serving the needs of some of the kids that are enrolling and some kids that aren't. So your name's getting out there, in which we've talked about maybe in every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth is it. Like, that's just it. 100%. So that first year, that you're right. That's what we did.
That's what we did.
And it was fun.
It was fun. And, you know, and when we were not savvy at that point at all about thinking about budgeting and things like that, we were very much learning as we went. And so I would tell my previous self, think about how many kids you need to break even. And then think about how many kids you need to make some money that you might need going into the fall. And you have to account for the bills that you have or the teachers that you're going to pay. We paid our teacher a flat fee for the camp. And so we knew exactly how much that was going to cost us to have the teacher. And we knew staffing, and we gave her a budget for supplies. So we actually knew how much we were going to spend on that too. And then we knew that we were going to make X amount more based on enrollment. And so then we had that money going into fall as we were starting to get some tuition. So, I mean, you have to be really mindful about that.
And that's something I think is micro schools. I don't know that that's ever going to change.
Yeah.
And so, and we'll talk more about what we've done in past summers subsequently, and then like what we're doing this year. And I would say that mindset is still, it's still there, right? Like, you have to know, regardless of what your summer programming is going to look like, you have to know what's going out versus what's coming in. Because what you can't do, that you just learn off the bat, you can't go in the hole for summer school.
Yeah.
And so that has to be a pretty solid, you got to kind of know. And we had no, you've got to know who's coming. Let me finish that thought. You have to know who's coming. And we were pretty upfront with families that were enrolling. We have to have this many kids or we can't do summer, we can't do a camp. Because, I mean, bills are all due anyway, like we talked about off the top. You can't go in the hole paying extra staff and paying extra teachers and buying more materials for summer if it's not full.
Yeah.
So really knowing that threshold doesn't matter. I don't think if it's year one or year eight.
Yeah.
If you're talking micro schools, smaller options, you know, which is kind of where we are living, I don't know that that's something that's ever really going to go away.
Yeah, I would agree. Always thinking about that. So then in year two, we evolved a little bit. We had a bigger space by that time. And we still did an all-day summer school. And we did it all-day enrichment, which is what you were saying. Like, we had a morning enrichment class and an afternoon enrichment class.
Yeah, and we did it in June only.
June only. Yep. And so we had teachers that would come and teach in the morning session and then teachers that would teach in the afternoon session. And that worked okay.
Yeah, it was all enrichment. So it was like PE, it was art. It was, we had a fantastic beekeeper come. She's a, she's a steam expert, but she did like a unit on bees. We did gardening. Nancy, Miss Nancy did gardening. We did cooking. And so, cause we had access to a kitchen. And so we would do one thing in the morning and we would do another in the afternoon.
And, but we still had to do lunch. We still had to do recess. We still had to do morning. We still had to do dismissal. So there was still a need to, for us to be here every single day. And then we also, getting those teachers was kind of hard. People don't want to necessarily teach in the summer. And so we have found it for us harder to hire people that want to do that work because they would just prefer to have time off. So that's been hard. And I remember we hired a couple people that didn't have a lot of experience with kids and then they couldn't manage the groups. So then we were actually really kind of co-teaching or teaching. And so, so what we learned through that was perhaps all day is a little harder because our plan was to then work during the summer
on the
business.
We were going to do the same thing we did the first summer.
Right.
You know, well, that worked well because our art teacher was a teacher.
Right.
So we weren't.
So we got to do things for the business to plan for the next year.
Year two, that wasn't necessarily.
Two, that, did not work. And so then we adjusted again last year. And we did a mix of academic support in the morning and enrichment in the afternoon. So the kids would come in and we hired a teacher to teach basically reading, writing, math in the mornings. And then they would have an enrichment class in the afternoon.
And really we had two teachers. It had grown enough where we had like a K2, 3-5-ish group. And so like one might teach reading, one might teach math. They would flip. They did a lot of hands-on activities, but the morning was academic, and we changed it in response to some feedback we had gotten, which we'll talk about here in a second, but we had gotten some feedback, maybe make it more academic as well as enrichment. And so we said, okay, we'll give that a whirl. And, that was nice. We paid, one of our staff members, well, first of all, everybody that came in the morning was a teacher. So that helped a lot with Jill and myself.
Because they could manage.
Because they managed everything.
They didn't need us. Yeah.
And so we were back to being able to work when we were here. And that was really nice. Kind of like we did that first year. The second year was definitely the hardest for that. Because we had the most non-teachers. If teachers were here, it was fine. If you had somebody that wasn't a classroom teacher by trade.
Just didn't know how to manage.
It was just rougher.
It was harder.
But then we were doing lunch, recess before, after, like, so
every time we get started on something, we had to stop and do something else, which made it really hard for us to get anything done. So that was real.
So then last year was nice because we hired like a lead teacher and they took care of those teachers, took care of the morning, the academic time. And then we didn't need as many as enrichment teachers in the afternoon because
which totally helped.
And so everybody we had coming in last year was a teacher. So that was a huge.
And really dependable. Like they were all here and it wasn't, we weren't scrambling to fill subs or anything like that. So that was really great.
And we added July. So we did a camp in June and we did a camp in July.
And they, and we did it differently last year. We're not doing it again, but last year, we let them choose the weeks they wanted as long as they got to 4 weeks. So families had some flexibility, and this might perhaps work for where you are. It was a great idea. And I don't know that it wouldn't work if we continued to do it. It was just hard from a management standpoint. So we backed away from it, but, so over June and July, families could choose 4 weeks total out of 2 months. And so if they wanted to do another camp or if they wanted to go on vacation, they could work around that and not pay for days that they weren't going to use. So I like the idea of it. I do.
Yeah. The idea was good. There, we got caught a couple times in like, let's say there was an ongoing project. And maybe a kid missed the first, a student missed the first 2 weeks in June, but we're there for the second 2 weeks. But maybe one of the projects, like morning projects, was over that quarter, like a teacher was teaching for a month. Like you might get a kid that had missed some prior information. You might get a kid, like if a teacher was trying to reteach something because all but one of the kids turned over. So they were going to reteach. You might get a kid. So there were some nuances in there that,
the that comings and goings.
The comings and goings and managing it. Like we,
it was hard.
It was hard. It was hard.
So we did not do that this year. So now fast forward to this year and
this is the greatest year ever.
This is the best.
This is it. This is what it's going
to be. Year three is, well, I guess this is actually our fourth summer school. That's our fourth summer school. But we have a staff member coming on that will be with us next year who is an expert in STEAM. And she just wanted to do summer school.
She's so excited.
It's so fantastic. So she's running June and July.
And she's running them like a June camp. And a July camp. So it's new material both months. So if kids want to do 2 months, they can do 2 months and the material's not going to overlap. Which is fabulous. She's a teacher. She's taught teachers. I mean, she's a teacher of teachers. She's a teacher of students. She's done all the things. Dr. Ann Schlumper's her name. She's done stuff everywhere. So
You know, look her up.
She's amazing. And, and like Jill said, she's coming on staff next year. So it will be a really good opportunity, you know, for kids that will have her as a teacher in the fall to get to know her. Plus, it's STEAM. It's something totally.
It's fun and it's fun, great.
It's hands on.
And so we have tried to meld the best of both worlds this year. So we have fantastic camps that we're super excited about. But then we're also offering an add-on of tutoring for academics. So if a parent does want some academic support, but also wants their kids to have fun in mm-hmm. the summer, they can get that. And so the add-on is tutoring for reading and or math, depending on what the student needs. And Susan and I are doing that piece.
Yes.
And so we're offering the tutoring so that we know that it's great tutoring mm-hmm. And they'll get the pieces that they need, and we'll be a little more in control of that piece just to make sure that the kids really continue to get strong academics if they choose that. So parents can choose just camp, or they can choose camp plus the add-on of it's academics, tutoring, yeah. which I love. And it controls our tutoring schedule.
Like, it really does.
We don't have to do a bunch of planning for tutoring. It's just if they want to do that, they will. We'll pull them during the camp. So, I mean, that's the only slight downfall is that they will be pulled out of a portion of it. We will just talk to the teacher and make mm-hmm. sure we do it the best time. But it's 45 minutes twice a week,
yeah.
and it's not going to be a huge deal. And we maybe, I don't know, we'll think about
it's
how that's going
to
work.
Keep kids moving forward.
It's enough to keep them moving forward. They get some good time out. And the other thing that we didn't mention, we did this last year. We moved to a 4-day week.
Yes.
We only do 4 days in summer. We don't do Fridays. And we learned that our first 2 years, people don't come on Friday.
They won't come. Yeah.
And so we had all these kids missing on Fridays, and understandably so. I mean, that's the time that a lot of parents do
grab a 3-day weekend,
yeah. or grandparents are in town or whatever. So our summer school is only 4 days a week. Monday through Thursday. And that's been great. Mm-hmm. So that was another change we made last year that we're taking into this year.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, the other change we made is, we didn't charge what we charged for tuition. And in our own minds, we kind of come up with, well, Jill's not really teaching. I'm not really teaching. Mm-hmm. But you know, last year we had some bang up teachers that
yeah.
were teaching
oh, yeah.
and, that, you know, taught my own kids or teach my own kids mm-hmm. that I'd want to teach my own children. Mm-hmm. And so the quality of instruction was really high. And, not only that, like, it still requires materials. It still requires yeah. purchasing things. It's still,
right.
So that was a miss, I think, financially on our end, thinking, mm-hmm. well, they're getting Fridays off, so we won't, they're getting Fridays off. Jill and I aren't the ones teaching, mm-hmm. so we're going to give a little cut in tuition. Don't do that
yeah.
because it's still
it just
costing.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Everything, every other, and I think that goes back to our backgrounds in education, not in business, but everything else is the same, right? The rent's the same. The copier's the same. The insurance is the same. All the mm-hmm. business needs are the same. The instructional needs are the same. To run a STEAM camp, we're going to pay to purchase items. And so don't sell yourself short, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm trying to say, or your people short that yeah. are doing these things for you.
Yeah.
Because if you're running a quality camp mm-hmm. or quality instructional programming, mm-hmm. whatever it is you decide to do, mm-hmm. it's you're doing school. You're mm-hmm. doing school in June. You're doing school in July. And the cost isn't going to go down.
No.
And you're not going to have the only difference is you're not having the same number of children that you have during the year.
Right.
But you're trying to pay the same amount of bills going out.
Exactly.
So
it doesn't all add up.
So I would say that for us was the biggest yeah. like epiphany is pretty strong, but it was,
yeah.
I mean, wait a second. Like we're given a discount in the summer, but
nothing's
discounting
changing
on our end.
Yeah.
And so that, that was a change
yeah.
and I'm really excited. We'll be excited to share, I think, with you at the end of the summer, how this one went.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like our teacher, she's running it. Dr.
Yeah.
Ann, like Dr. Ann, she's running it. She's,
yeah.
pulling the people in that she's used in the past for
right.
STEAM camps to help her. We
right.
said, here's the stipend or
we
here's
did.
X
so we gave her a
money.
Budget and we said, you decide how you want to do it.
It's paying you. It's paying anybody
yeah.
you bring on. It's buying your supplies. And
yeah.
so here's the money you're going to get, which was very easy for us
mm-hmm.
because we knew then exactly mm-hmm. how many kids we had to have.
Yeah.
And so we told her if and help share in your circles,
yeah.
your social circles, however you have advertised before your STEAM camps, let the word get out, because if we don't have X number of kids, we can't do the camp.
Yeah.
And so it's been very neat and very clean
yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
And I've liked that. So we'll see coming full circle, you know, I've liked that.
I mean,
the planning hasn't been endless hours.
Yes, for sure. And it's the reflection that makes you better each year. You know, you you have to do it. You have to try it. You have to just do it. I think that's the, just get out there, just do it, put it out there. And learn. You learn from what works with your community and what doesn't work with your community. And you're going to keep some things and you're going to completely change some things. And that's okay.
And if you're starting this on business. Your own, it is. It's good business. And you don't want, I think, especially if you're young in your business, you don't want to lose connections with your families over the summer.
Yeah.
So I think if you're not doing something, like, you want to stay in front of them. Yeah. I think as a business owner, I mean, you don't just want to, businesses that are successful are interacting with their people. And I would just be a little anxious, I think, if we were just to check out for two summers.
For sure.
So even if we decided at some point, you know, we're just going to do tutoring, we're still going to do something with our families over the summer. And I think that's the right thing to do for your families. But I also think it's a right thing to do as a business owner. Does that make sense?
For sure. Because you have to give yourself off some time.
Yeah.
In the summer. You need it. You're going to be tired. And but if you need to recharge too.
But if you're conscientious about how to do it. So maybe maybe you don't have a business partner, maybe it's just you. So do half days.
Do half days. Yeah.
Work with your families on maybe doing a co-op for the other half, you know, like of the day. So working families are still covered. But definitely make it a way where you can rejuvenate.
Yeah.
Because that second summer was hard.
It was
really, really hard. Because we just never got a break. And you can't do that. So
we'll see how this year works.
This has been good.
I think it's going to be good. We're excited.
I'm excited.
So there's tips and tricks from us as you're thinking about what you might do for summer school. As always, reach out to us if we can help you. You will find information for our school on www.comokale.com. And then our other business, www.kaleedco.com. And I also always have to give a plug. If you're listening, the last podcast we did talked about reading, and we have our reading conference coming up.
It's about to be full
and registration is going to close. And so that you'll find that on our Kale Edco website. We have people coming from all over the U.S. for that. It is a Science of Reading, Show Me Science of Reading conference. It's our second annual. Many of you probably know YouFly. Some of you may be using YouFly phonics in your school, and Dr. Holly Lane will be here on site. She's a fantastic person, and her whole team is coming. Dr. Burns is coming, Dr. Matt Burns, and Dr. Valentina Contess. And we have Dr. Kimiana Burke coming, who's talking about implementation of science of reading. And then we have David Chalk coming, who is a man who learned to read at age 61.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
His story is really phenomenal. And there's a documentary called The Truth About Reading. If you haven't seen that, it's a good one. I think it is streaming now on several things. But it's the story about him. And so he's going to come. We showed the documentary last year at our conference. And this year he's going to come and personally talk about his journey to becoming a reader at age 61.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Don't think that this was some fellow, you know, like, nope, this fellow was important. He was successful. He was doing big things and could not read.
It's interesting to hear all the ways that he got around not telling people he could read and the links he had to go to to make life work for him.
That was a thread through so much of that documentary. It was really that documentary. If you haven't seen it, I mean, and you need to ever relight your passion for why you're doing what you're doing, that documentary will do it.
It was a good
quick
one.
The other thing, I mean, the plug that I still want to make is we really want to hear from you if you're interested in some sort of micro school conference, perhaps next fall. And I say that twofold. Number one, we would love to connect with you at the Science of Reading Conference. That would be a really good time to get you here to be able to have just maybe have some coffee, get together, yeah, chit chat, visit about
learn from each other
what that would look like, yeah, and then be able to determine, you know, who is interested in some of, you know, these micro schools, micro school leaders, micro school mm-hmm. teachers, to just spend some time, maybe a day next fall, maybe a day and a half or something, yeah, just learning and teaching each other.
Yeah.
So again, email us.
If well, I told Susan today, it's on my to-do list. I will have a Facebook page soon where we can be better about interacting with people. A Facebook page for the podcast. It is on my to-do list and I have not gotten it done. But I will, and that will make it easier for you to contact us as well, or just start discussions. And there's lots of really great groups out there that I follow and watch and mm-hmm. help as I can and learn lots. So we'll get that up soon. But yeah, we'd love to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well,
happy spring break to us.
And we're going to go wrap these children up, feed them, and send them home. And we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Thanks, everybody.